greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful to be here with you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us. Help us to be faithful to you. Fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your word. Help us have understanding, Father, Lord, to do your will. Again, we thank you for all that you do. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to Ephesians. Chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want to just talk this morning a little bit about the world we live in and to try to get a picture of what is real. It's so easy for us to think that we can just fix things in our physical strength or in our wisdom or our just ability to take care of things. But in verse 12 it says, but our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The flesh and blood that we see is just a temporary thing. It's not really what we are. We live in a spiritual world. God is a spirit, and the world that is real is a spiritual world. We see flesh and blood. We see rock and dirt and water and buildings, and we see things that are physical. But those are not real. We see them as concrete because we can feel and touch them. But the real world, this whole world, is a spiritual world. There's things at work here that we cannot see unless we have an eye and a willingness to see them. All we see is the concrete, the flesh and blood, the things that are right in front of us. And we make our decisions and we make our judgments on those things. And by basing our foundation on those things, we're missing it. We live in a spiritual world. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So many times when someone does something to us or hurts us, or we see the flesh and blood side of things. We see the results in the physical. And that's not where our struggle is. That's where we get upset when something physical happens and we react to it. But it's all in the physical. But that's not where our battle is. Our battle is not an ability just to be strong in the flesh. Our battle is not an ability to overcome things in the flesh. There are powers at work that are so much stronger than we are. We are just little puppets, almost. Puppets with a will in this world. And our real battle is with flesh and blood. It's not with flesh and blood. It's against rulers. Against the powers. Against the world forces of this darkness. In the spiritual realm, there are generals. There are lieutenants. There are captains. There's privates. There's a whole pecking order of things. This whole world is ruled. Towns, countries, states are ruled by different spiritual beings that have a jurisdiction over that particular area, that particular. And the battle that we see a flesh and blood battle. We see, oh, those people do that. Or those people do this. And the reason they do that, I don't know how many times we've been out in different cities and there's a preaching. And over and over again, different people will come and they'll all have the same response or reaction to seeing us. Just over and over again. The next night, it'll be different. But it'll be repetitive. The same thing that starts, and that's just kind of a theme for that evening. It's not just because all the people are come up with the same thing. It's because there's an element, a spiritual element, in control of that particular area. That rules that area. Just like it rules every area. We're called to be a light in this world. Not under that type of rule. We have a king. And he has called us out of that kingdom. So that that's where our battle is. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. Against the powers. Against the world forces of this darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. All over, when we think of heavenly, it's not the heaven where God's at, but it's a high place. It's above or overseeing all of these things. That's why it tells us to take up the armor, the full armor of God, so that we'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. We are in a war. A spiritual battle. And I'm not talking about, oh, there's a demon behind every little bush. Or there's some kind of thing that we should be afraid of all the time. There's spooks here and there. That's not what I'm talking about. The spiritual world is the real world. And we're trying to live that spiritual life out in this flesh and blood. So many times we see parallels in the political world of the fight and the battle that we are in. And I've often thought about that how whenever someone, even in the political world, is trying to do what's right, or just trying to follow the light that they have in their realm, that how they're opposed on every front. And it seems like the deck is stacked completely against anyone that just tries to do what's right. And that's the way it is in our world, in the spiritual world. Because the deck is stacked against us. Satan is powerful. He has his armies. And they're stacked against us. He has a inside track to us. That if we yield to it, as human beings, that He has a power and control over us. But that's, our battle is not with the flesh and blood. It's right there. It's right there. We see this idea of the battle in a political sense, in all kinds of different areas. But in the political sense, where I've thought about this, I've wondered, how is this, what is the real idea here of why the battle is so strong? And I've thought about it, and I think the idea is that freedom is what God has granted people. Freedom. You know, this country was based on, the Constitution is based on giving people their freedom. The Constitution of this country was written not to restrict the people, but to restrict the government, so that the government would not be an oppressive force against mankind. And that, I think, is what Satan, it's a picture of what Satan hates. Satan hates freedom for people. He hates when people have a choice that God has given us to be free. And so when a country tries to restrict government or restrict restrictions and allow decent people, honest people, just to be free and make their choices, Satan hates that on any realm, on any level. Jesus came to set us free. To set us free. Satan wants to have us bound. Because if we're free, he has no control over us. He can't control us. And that idea of freedom on whichever level, physical, spiritual, whatever level you want to go to, is hated by Satan. Churches that try to control and manipulate people are just another form of control and manipulation, just like Satan wants in the government. Just like Satan wants in the spiritual world. But when someone just wants to set people free, it's opposed and hated. The deck is stacked against them. It's an uphill battle. That's the battle that we're fighting, that's not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness. But with rulers and leaders of this world darkness. Because the fight is about freedom. Freedom in our own hearts and our own wills to choose to follow the Lord on our own. There's been a lot of talk this last week about political things. There's been an election. And there's been a lot of talk about it. And several people that have called me and asked, what is our position on voting? What is our, you know, one person, they started out and they said, we just wanted to know where your position is on voting. Our position is it's evil. And if you vote, you're just part of the world system and you're part of the devil. Others say, oh, if you don't vote, you're just evil and part of Satan's, and you're just letting Satan have a free reign. Both positions. Both people thinking that they're really taking a stand here. What is the position here? Is our battle with flesh and blood to the point that we don't have to, we don't want anything to do with what's going on around us? We don't have any say-so? Or is it so strong that our vote makes a difference? You know, either position I think is both kind of missing it, being so strong. I think that the Bible was fully aware of who was in control. The people in the Bible were fully aware who was in the government. They were fully aware of that. There's a lot of talk about who was in charge at the time. Whether we have a position or a place of putting those people, or whether there was a vote that you could have placed, doesn't really say too much about that. Let's turn the Bible to Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. It doesn't necessarily say that so everything will go our way here. It says that we can live a peaceful and quiet life in all dignity. How do you get that? Well, the Bible instructs us to pray for that. To pray for our leaders. We need to know who they are. Sometimes leaders are put into office that we don't like. What do we do then? The best thing is to fight this in a spiritual battle. Pray for them. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. How this world comes or goes really isn't going to matter to us if we're of a spiritual mind. It's so easy to get so caught up that is what's going to fix our problems. But it's not. I think we ought to be informed and we ought to know what's going on. And I don't think there's anything wrong in wanting to see someone promoting freedom, because we love freedom, whether in this realm or in the physical. We love right. We love good. We love freedom so that people can make their choice. And we want to give that to people in this world. We want to give that to people in the church. Because that's what's really real. And we want to pray for those that are trying to promote those ideas. We want to encourage it. We love to see it. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. It's refreshing to see one actually standing for those things. Whenever we look at that realm, we see so many bad things and so many good things. Doesn't mean everything is just perfect, but the ideals are good. Sometimes the people are corrupt themselves, but their ideals are good, and we want to see those things promoted. God is able to use humans, men, as instruments to see those things promoted. It seems today that we see people, a whole political party that loves to find people who are confused. mentally disturbed. And instead of helping them, they give them power and encourage them in their confusion, in their perversions. And instead of actually helping them with a promise of supporting them, thinking that if you ever say anything against them, you're the bad one, when you actually would love to see them helped. But yet they're bolstered up in their confusion. The idea of a man not knowing whether he's a boy or a girl, and thinking that there's a validity because I feel like a girl, that you should respect me being a girl. Or that I have thoughts that I shouldn't have, or lust that I shouldn't have. And instead of trying to actually help that person, you just say, we're going to give you power to fulfill that. We don't like seeing things like that. It's wrong. And we see someone trying to actually help people in those situations, and we want to encourage that. How's the best way to encourage that? It's right here. Pray for your leaders. Why? So that they can get all the world's problems fixed? No. So that we can live a peaceful and quiet life, serving God, whatever the situations are around us, whatever the political situation going on, we can still have a peaceful life because we're trusting God in the situation. See, that's what we're shooting for here. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Do you think that the first disciples under Roman oppression, being killed, burned at the stake, were worried about, well, we better vote somebody else in so that won't happen anymore? Or if they did vote for someone and it went the wrong way, that wasn't where the answer was. They were able to pray and trust God with the situation. Not that He would just change it and make it all good for them, but so that they could live a peaceful and quiet life in all tranquility and dignity. Because their hearts were content to let God control what's going on around them. We think of this as so that I can have a perfect situation and tranquility and all peace and all kinds of goodness and dignity, so because everything's going good all around us. But that's not the goal here, so that we can create a heaven on earth. The goal is here that we can have peace in the midst of all kinds of upheaval that's going on in this world. All kinds of trouble going on in this world. Confusion abounding in this world. But I can have peace, not because I voted, whether I won or lost, but because I've given it to God. I remember 20-some years ago, maybe longer than that, maybe 25 years ago, 30, I don't know. But I was all encouraged about voting because there was an evil man running for office. And I knew, I just was convinced he was a scoundrel and the other guy was better. And so I got all encouraged and I voted and I tried to get other people to vote. And I remember listening. Let's turn to Daniel while we're going here. Daniel chapter 2. And I remember listening the night of the election, late into the evening, just trying to, oh, did my guy win? And did we defeat evil? And as the election results came out, the bad guy won. I had voted. I tried to get other people to vote. And I was so dejected, because I thought it was my Christian duty to make sure he won. And I thought right would triumph. And it didn't. And when I heard the election results and I knew that my guy had been defeated and the guy that I wanted didn't want to win, won, a verse came to my mind. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. This is talking about us, verse 20, just starting verse 20. It says, saying, may God's name be blessed from now on and forever, for wisdom and understanding belong to Him. He changes times and seasons. He appoints kings and removes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and insight to those who have skill. Who appoints the king? And who removes the king? When I read that and I thought about that, I thought, wait a minute. I went out and I was all excited to vote for somebody, and God put somebody else in there. I thought, I just voted against God. God put somebody else in there. And I just voted the opposite of what God wound up doing. You know, it's nice when elections go with a way that's positive for freedom. And sometimes we get all excited because things are happening like that. But do we have peace? Do we have tranquility? Can we serve God with dignity? Or is our hope and our goals all wrapped up in who's going to govern us? Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the president? Who's going to be the king? And our emotions go up and down with whoever it is. Or can we have peace just because we trust God with all this situation? Our faith is that we serve a God that is in control of all things. And He does appoint leaders. The Bible says He gives us the leaders that we deserve. We think that the government's going to fix all the problems. We think that if the government would just do what's right, everything would go the way it should. But that's not the way it works. It's people that are doing what's right. At the very heart, you want to do the best you can for your nation. You be the light in the dark world. That's 10,000 times better than a vote. Votes can be manipulated. Votes can be cheated. Votes can be counted or missed. But the light can't be. Chronicles tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways. Seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. It's not because you convince 10 people to vote for somebody. It's not because you can get all excited about voting. If you will humble yourself and seek His face, God will do the healing of the land. That's where the vote counts. It's not at the ballot box. It's at the heart of the people. And if you do your part and you be the light where you're at, people get aggravated at us because we don't go vote. But you can do more for this nation or any nation by trusting in God and being the light that you need to be. Spend millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to convince that you need to vote for somebody. It didn't take a penny. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I'll heal their lands. You want to do something for the world that you live in? Quit fighting flesh and blood. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those who are going to be appointed or taken away. And have peace with whoever God puts in there. Have rest with whoever God's put in there. There's been several times I thought it was all over. Because who won the election? And life just goes right on. You just adapt to the changes. Or you get miserable. And you start fighting with flesh and blood. And you get all upset and all anxious and all about what's going on. Instead of trusting the one who puts the leaders in their place. And letting Him do what's best. And being able to rest in it. Whenever we look at some of the things that the book of Revelation talks about, some of the things that have happened in history, there's been some bad times. And the people who stood were the ones who trusted that God was in control of all things. Even though Satan rose up and roared like a lion, wreaked havoc all around them, the ones who had the peace and lived quiet, tranquil lives were not because their situation was good, it's because their hearts were good. Their hearts were set on something higher than this. We've had good times. And our desire is to keep them. And they may go on. But they may get bad. But God's still in control. May the Lord add His blessing.
Hail